E1. Number 13A.
Okay, so we come to the word in Absolute Christian Science. The word in Absolute Christian Science, and we have seen that Mrs. Eddy, when she speaks about the word in Absolute Christian Science, that she speaks about life, truth, and love. Yes, but let me, let me first say something. What do we have now to consider in the word in Absolute Christian Science? We said it is the principle, is in the focus towards ideas. But the focus is really on principle. So they put that principle into a square so that we know the focus is on the principle or on the origin and not on the ideas. It's therefore the question of how the principle of being brings forth ideas. That's the question. The word is always the logos, that creative word. How does the word of God bring forth ideas? That's the question here. So if you don't forget the question, you see, to state the question is most important, because if the question is not stated properly, we talk around in the wilderness. So we can draw it here and say, yes, we know that it is life, truth, and love, and we just make these three columns here to consider this relationship. Now, I think last year we made quite a few notes on these three columns, and I would like to make just a few, but very bang-on ones, so that we have a very clear-cut sense of it. Under life, we felt it was what if it had to relate to principle, to the source of that relationship. Therefore, life as a source of relationship must give us a very explosive sense of life. Or else, if there is no impulsion, nothing can come forth. We cannot have a relationship to ideas or to a creation if that principle has in itself not a very great, strong, powerful, expressing sense. And so when we go through the various ideas of life, we find there quite a few ones that give us that sense. So we said life is really the creative impulsion. For instance, it's the creative impulsion. I think with that one we have the main tone or the main accent set. Now, if we have a creative impulsion, we can say, well, in other words, it may be the urge, the drive, the push of life. We all had that. We may put that in brackets. It's the urge, the drive of life, the push of life. What else could... Yeah. So we feel that now we get the sense of that principle as the origin of that which can bring forth. It's naturally the eternal creator. Yeah, we have here creative impulsion. That great creative impulsion that always says, let there be. Like in the days of creation. So we can say, let there be? Huh? Perhaps with an exclamation mark. Huh? Let there be. It's a command. Huh? It's not. It's a real drive. Yes. What else could we put here? Perhaps it's quite, you know, it's all that life sense, you know, which says that it's like a volcano that boils up something until it pushes it out. Huh? That's the creative urge of life, that does not want just to stay nice and quietly at peace and at rest and not to move. Huh? It's that terrific power of life that wants to express itself. It's the life power that comes here into focus. Yes. Now, what does truth say to that whole thing? Now, truth says something very interesting. Namely, or let me put it in another way. We can ask ourselves, why is this not enough to say that the word in Absolute Christian Science is life, as the infinite impulsion and propulsion and urge and drive and expression and an explosion of life? Why does it have, in addition to that, truth and love?
Bring something.
It has to bring something forth, huh? Yes?
And it has to be self-realized.
Yeah. But you see how you get away from the main point, namely that we only have to talk about the origin and not about the ideas. We still are defining the origin, huh? Is it enough to say that we have a father, say in the human way, life as the father, the creative impulsion? Is it enough to have a father? Will we be happy just to have a father?
There has to be fatherhood.
Fatherhood?
A relational concept.
A relational concept? No, you go away from this principle to this arrow here, to the relation, you still...
Plus the result.
Plus the result. Yeah, then you leave the principle, the origin, if it has a result.
No, but within the father.
Okay, now we have it, huh? So it's not good, it's not good enough to say I have a father. I want to know that I have a right father, and that that father is a complete father and a good father, huh? And not just a father. You give to that source, you want to give to that source, a form that is right, huh? And we want to give to that source everything so that it's complete and not just a halfway source. Hmm? That's what is brought out here. That's why they all relate to that principle. They all state the nature of principle. The Old Testament didn't have that sense. They had the sense, yes, we have a creator. God is our creator. But they felt sometimes he's quite a jealous God, and sometimes he comes and destroys things. They didn't have a feeling that that their God was truth too, or that he was love. They didn't have that sense. That's why we have to define the source and say, this creative impulsion, say, is always impelling in a right way. In a true way, huh? that creative impulsion is right, that it is true, so that we know what kind of source we have, that it is true, that it is right, that it's correct, that it is a fact or factual, huh? And not just a fake. That it has true form, it would be true plus form, huh? Yes, true form. And we not only want to see that that source is right. But we also want to see that it is right in every way, namely perfect, huh? Right in every way, complete, perfect.
Huh?
No? The source is never specific. It's always the whole source. The source, huh? The father is the father of all the children. He's not specifically the father of one child. So we get the sense here that love must be complete. No, not love must be complete. I must say it the other way around, that the creative impulsion is within itself complete, within itself. That it's a complete impulsion. Do you see what I am stating? That truth and love, you see, the truth and love always refer back to the source, huh? They refer back to the source. We investigate, that's why we had this diagram here, principle, and said the word has its accent on principle in relation to its expression. All these are stating that the principle of expression is life, that the principle of expression is life, and that life is in itself, that's why we have the arrow back to life, is in itself right and true, so that we can rely really on that impulsion of life, and that it has the nature of love, namely that source is a complete source, is a perfect source, is perfect, is a perfect source. Can you read that? So, or you say, right at the beginning, the source is fulfilled. Everything is fulfilled right at the beginning. Huh? But then you must see, yeah, is fulfilled. So not fulfillment. Can you see? It's not fulfillment. Or you have a sequence. You see, life, truth, and love is not a sequence from life to truth to love. Life, truth, and love is a chord with the accent on life. And truth defines the rightness of that source, and love defines the perfection and completeness of that source. I think now I have stated it clear enough, huh? Can you see, it's always about the source, always about this principle here, and not about the outcome. Yes? We also consider that one time, I don't know, I think it was in the talks in New York, where I showed you that in the science of sciences, they bring out that within the science of science, there is a great, unmistakable, irrevocable nature of life, truth, and love, because they can see that every science accelerates. You have life as the accel. Is that 2L, huh? See, that's really life, huh? When something accelerates. And you have an exponential growth, where things go quicker and quicker. You say today things go so fast. No, you say they go so fast. And you can ask yourself, why do they go fast? Not just state why that they do, but why do they? See, and they show that there is that acceleration which we can really see, because life really is the spontaneity of life, and spontaneity of life is always the nowness of life, and that naturally brings a terrific acceleration into everything. But then they say that this acceleration within itself, in the sciences, in the development of discoveries and so on, have within themselves a logicity. That's the truth of it. It is within itself logic, true. But they don't miss the mark, really. And that this acceleration has within itself that logicity with a purpose in view right from the beginning. They call it goal causality. For instance, or teleological, that's the same, teleological, that the source, there where everything starts out, has already built in the aim, the goal. So it's goal causality. The causality, really, the cause is right here in life. That's the cause. But built in is the goal, and you know, goal as love. The plan, the fulfillment, the aim, the purpose. And that's what comes through in the science of sciences, as I see it, that this law is at work. This law of life, truth and love is at work. Now we can ask ourselves, now what does that law really mean for us, you see? Well, if you live with it for a year or two, live with it day in, day out, until you get the hum of this law, then you don't ask anymore what is the purpose of this law. You feel it in your bones, because it is that fundamental law from which the whole level of absolute Christian science starts out, which says, you know, there is in being a life impulsion. In that one being, that one life, there is a life impulsion, life, which you know is right and true and logical. And that life impulsion, which you know is true and logical, has built within itself already the purpose of that life impulsion. The goal, the high goal, is built in. And therefore, if we make that law the law of our life, the law of our consciousness, and therefore go around in the daily life with that law just always singing in us and says to us, look here, old boy, don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Because there is a law who takes care of you, who takes care of everything, because it's a relationship to idea, who takes care of every situation, who takes care of everybody, who takes care of every specific proposition. There is a law at work which says, the I am says, I am life, and I am the infinite creative impulsion of life, and bring forth right from the start, that which is right and which has a great goal and purpose built in that life. And you go around and feel nothing really can happen to you. That really you can't go astray, that you can't miss the mark, that you cannot get into a frustrating situation. Because this law is really that law, it takes care of every sense of frustration. Because it's the law of infinite creativity. Try to culture that law. Culture that law, and without taking heed of what's going on and what the argument is about your life and about the situation in the world and about anything, just always know there is a law at work, irresistibly at work, which says, I am the one life, and that one life comes to me as the impelling life of being. There's constantly that creative impulsion at work in being, and that creative impulsion in being is always right, and that creative being, which is always right, knows its high goal, its high purpose. And so you can only be taken in into that rhythm. Again, we can ask the practical question, namely, what is the opposite of it? Because we always know these laws much better through its counterfeit. The counterfeit is very well known to us. The counterfeit here says either, instead of creative impulsion, that life is the creative impulsion, it says you are the creative impulsion. You have to work like a beaver. You have to do things. It's up to you to pull up your socks and go and work. You have to work very hard. That's the counterfeit of life. And the counterfeit of truth is that we doubt constantly, are we doing the right thing? Am I on the right track? Do I know the right thing? And you are constantly questioning yourself, am I right, am I wrong? And the counterfeit of love, in that impulsion when you go to work and work very hard, always considering, am I on the right track or am I not? The counterfeit of love always comes in and says, yes, and if I am on the right track, will I make the grade? Will I be successful? Do you know that? Do you know that this is man's hardest suggestion? That he lives and uses all his energies and all his resources of life, of personal life, and is constantly in doubt that he does the right thing, and constantly in doubt that when he finishes up his life that he may be disappointed. And I think a great percentage of people are very disappointed at the end of their lives. They feel, I've missed the boat. Somewhere on the way I've missed the boat. And so, because I've missed the boat, the goal was not attained. This is a terrific suggestion for everyone, especially for those who feel that they are not just in a state of lethargy, but would like to work and be active. They constantly have the counterfeit law of the world here, suggesting itself. And therefore, this law seems to be, to me, such an important law, such a powerful law, such a law that gives you security, trust, purpose. Because if one entrusts oneself to a law, one knows, in every science, entrusting oneself to a law, one knows that the law works. If one entrusts oneself to the law of arithmetic, one knows the result will be right, you see. So it's just a question of entrusting oneself to the law. Did I say something wrong? No? Yeah. So we can handle that life practice first with that law of life, truth and love. And you just entertain constantly that consciousness that in actual reality, in the built-in into the science of being, is that life impulsion that impels constantly, constantly, constantly the right ideas, and impels always those right ideas which finally give us the certainty that we will succeed. The psychologists or the psycho-cyberneticians call this law the law of the success mechanism, because it is that mechanism or that law which acts against frustration. It's therefore the law of achievement, it's the law of creative fulfillment, which we have here, the law of goal causality, of teleology, of telefinalism, as Dunui calls it, that he just sees that everything which life brings into being is geared towards a final, perfect aim, that it is not blind to the future. You see, every material impulsion is blind to the future. Yeah. Okay. But okay, we go to the next one.
We can also have some specifically defined criteria for choosing the right.
Yes, yes. The specific criteria is really this, where I pointed out that the criteria must be a principle that leads to ideas. That's the criteria. An impulsion is a source that leads to ideas. You can't have a creator without creation. So we come to absolute Christian Science, and we take again the same diagram of principle leading to ideas. And now the accent must shift to the relationship, to that arrow. That must now be in the focus, because it's now the Christ. It must now show why a translation is possible. The word said, from where does a creation come from, or how did he state it? What is that which brings forth the idea? Now we ask another question, namely, how does it translate itself to the idea? Once you have the creative impulsion, now how is it translatable and transformable to the point of infinite ideas? And so Mrs. Eddy would take that as truth, life and love.